Welcome to the KICC Malawi podcast. Our prayer is that this message will speak to your heart.
Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Amen. Amen. So, I'm taking this title today from a book that maybe some of you may not even think you can find such kind of words in such kind of a book. So what I'll do, I'll give you a background before we read the scripture. So I'll start with a story, and then later on we are going to go to the scripture. It's not from the book of Psalms. Give thanks to the Lord, for His good and His love endures forever. This time around I've been taking it from the book of Psalms. I've taken it from a book that I'm going to tell you. Amen. And you'll be amazed that give thanks to the Lord, for His good also appears in such kind of a book. But there's a story behind it. And it's a story that I want us to hear first. Amen?
Amen.
So, after the Ark of the Covenant, which represented God's presence on earth, was captured in battle with the Philistines, in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1 to 10, which we are not reading, it was taken to Ashdod. Ashdod at that time was a Philistine city. When the ark was taken to Ashdod, God began to fight. They took it, they brought it into the temple of their god, called Dagon. And when they brought him there, the following morning, the Philistines woke up and found that Dagon was lying flat by the Ark of the Covenant. So they raised him up, came out following the morning and found that Dagon again had fallen, and by this time his arms were broken, and quite some big heat had happened with Dagon. So, God then began to bring in death and tumors amongst the Philistines. And the Philistines became afraid, and they took the Ark of the Covenant to Gath, where Goliath came from. And God repeated the very same thing. Death and tumors occurred in Gath. And the people were now became very scared and decided that they needed to take the ark to Ekron. When they brought it to Ekron, the people of Ekron cried. And when they cried, they say, "You also want us to die. It's better this ark should be taken back to Israel." But by the time they were saying that, already death and tumors had broken out amongst the Philistines in Ekron. So all the three cities were highly impacted because of the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant stayed with the Philistines for 7 months. And in those 7 months, all these tumors, all this death was occurring. So the Philistines, as I said, decided, okay, let's return the Ark back to the children of Israel. So they mounted it on a cart which was being pulled by 2 milk cows. And these 2 milk cows were put on a yoke that had never been placed before. And they took the cows from these cows back home, away from the cows. The reason was because they wanted to be sure that maybe it was just by chance that all these things were happening, and it wasn't, after all, the God of the Israelites. So by taking the 2 cows, they knew that the nature of the milk cows would be for the milk cows to turn back toward their calves and not proceed on the path that the cows needed to go. So a group of the rulers of the Philistines were coming behind the cows as the cows were pulling the cart, and the cows went all the way to a city or a town called Beth Shemesh. Beth Shemesh was a town that belonged to the sons of a tribe, the tribe of the sons of Judah. And when the Israelites saw the car coming on its own with the two camps, they rejoiced so greatly because they realized God's mercy was upon them again. And the Philistines went back. The Israelites got the cows, killed them, slaughtered them, used the cows as the wood for the burnt offering to God. However, some of the men in Beth Shemesh decided that they wanted to look into the Ark of the Covenant. And immediately God struck them, and 50,070 died on that day. And the men of Beth Shemesh eventually said, no, this cannot stay with us anymore. Let it go to a city called Kiriath Jearim. Now, Kiriath Jearim, when you read the book of Joshua, it's actually where the Gibeonites came from. So it was taken there, and when it was taken there, today Kiriath Jearim is a city, a town, a village, whatever you can call it, in Israel called Abu Gash. Now, Abu Gash has got a very interesting story, even going back to the time of the Gibeonites until the time when Israel became a nation again in 1948, because it is the only Muslim village in the whole of Israel and almost maybe in the whole of the Middle East that to this day has decided that it's going to decide to side with Israel. So there is peace between Abu Gash, and when you begin to search scriptures, it is actually anticipated or expected that Abu Gash, Kiriath Jearim, and all the other names that are there is also what is called Emmaus. Amen. So they took it there to a house of a gentleman called Abinadab. And his house was on a hill, and they consecrated one of his sons called Eliezer to take care of the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant stayed in Kiriath Jearim for 20 years. Hallelujah. So when they came back, it was in Shiloh, and where Eli was a priest. And then afterwards, when they went into war with the Philistines, and they lost the battle the first day, they decided, let's go and get the ark. So Hophni and Phinehas took it with them, and they came into battle, captured by Israelites, and then this whole story I'm telling you. Then it stayed in Kiriath Jearim for 20 solid years. When Saul became king, he never took it to go and be where he was king. So all the time David was running away from Saul and all these other things, it was in Kiriath Jearim. When David became king, he decided that the ark needed to be moved to Jerusalem. So in 2 Samuel chapter 6, David gathered together chosen men of Israel, about 30,000 of them, to bring the ark from Kiriath Jearim to Jerusalem. But the whole thing ended up in a disaster because they didn't follow what God had told them in how to carry the ark. Again, this time around, the children of Israel used a cart pulled by oxen, just as the Philistines had done, to transfer the ark. But God had said, that's not how you have to transfer the ark. The ark has to be transferred by priests, and the priests have to carry the ark by its poles. And as they go, which is exactly what they did when they were crossing the river Jordan. And God had, it's amazing when you begin to read the scripture, because it had to be, when the ark is being carried, between the Levites and the children of Israel, the distance had to be about 2,000 cubits, which is close to a kilometer, 0.945 meters. So they had to see the ark going there because God was basically saying, I am leading you. So
So even when they came to cross the river Jordan, when you go back in the time of Joshua chapter 3 and others, then we begin to realize they come, they stood by the river Jordan, even though it was flooding at that time of harvest, but then the waters had to be separated. And it's interesting, I'm going to share that with you tonight, because what happened in this story, when the waters in the river Jordan, the time they were crossing the river Jordan, God made it a point that the waters had to stop at a city called Adam. And the city called Adam was about 25 kilometers away from the city of Jericho. So this whole congregation had to cross over to the other side in Jericho. We'll be talking about that tonight. Amen. And I'll be talking about the God makes promises and keeps them. Hallelujah. So they slaughtered the cows, did a sacrifice, and when they now carry the ark, they have had this scandal that has happened. Uzzah, the son of Abinadab, reached out to hold the ark and took hold of it because the oxen stumbled and the ark nearly overturned. Then the anger of the Lord again was bent against Uzzah. His brother was Ahio, and he was walking in front, so he wasn't slaughtered by God on this day. But God struck Uzzah because of his irreverence. He did not fear the Lord, and he died there by the ark. David became angry, and he was also aggrieved, and he was offended, because God had killed Uzzah. And then he became afraid, and he decided, I'm not willing anymore to move the ark to Jerusalem. So they took it over to the house of the gentleman called Obed-Edom, the Gittites, and stayed there for 3 months. In those 3 months, God blessed the house of Obed-Edom. Hallelujah. When David heard in Jerusalem that God has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all his family and all the household, he decided, no, we better go and get it. I'm still bringing it back to Jerusalem. So they went to bring it from Jerusalem with a lot of rejoicing and a lot of gladness. And this time around, David said, we need to do this thing right. Let's not repeat the mistake we did last time. Let's do it right. So the story we are reading today is now narrating what happened on this day when they took the ark from the house of Obed-Edom to go to Jerusalem. And that's where we find, give thanks to the Lord for his good, for his love endures forever. I needed to give you that background because we're going to refer to it. So let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And we're going to read verse 1 all the way to verse 13. Hallelujah. Amen. So they brought the ark of God and set it inside the tent which David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. He distributed to everyone in Israel, both man and woman, to everyone a loaf of bread, a portion of meat, and a raisin cake. Hallelujah. Everybody. Just like the way Malawi is. Imagine that the president decides each one of us, husband, wife, collects a loaf of bread, a portion of meat, and a raisin cake. And that's what David did on this day. He appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to profess God's name, and to thank and praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Asaph the chief, and second to him, Zechariah, then Jeho, Shimiramoth, Jehiel, Mathiah, Eliab, Benaiah, Obed, Edom, and Jeho, with musical instruments, harps and lyres. Also Asaph played loud sounding cymbals, and Benaiah and Jahaziel, the priests, blew trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of God. Then on that day, David first entrusted to Asaph and his relatives to give thanks to the Lord as their chief task. Psalm of Thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make his deeds known among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Speak of all his wonders. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually, longing to be in his presence. Remember with gratitude his marvelous deeds which he has done, his miracles and the judgments from his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be mindful of his covenant forever, the promise which commanded and established to a thousand generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, and his oath, sworn promise to Isaac. He confirmed it as a statute to Jacob and to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying to you, I'll give the land of Canaan as the portion of your possession and inheritance. When you were few in number, even a very few, and strangers in it, when they wandered from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people, he allowed no man to oppress or exploit them, and he reproved and punished kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord of the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are lifeless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are found in his presence. Strength and joy are found in his place in sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and honor and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory and honor due his name. Bring an offering of thanksgiving and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble reverently before him, O the earth. The world is firmly established. It will not be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar, and all the things that fill it. Let the field rejoice, and all that is in it. Then the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge and govern the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever. They say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and rescue us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, forever and ever. And all the people said, amen, and praise the Lord. If we go verse by verse, we'll not leave this place. But I want to focus on verse 34. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. After everything that had happened in their life, there was one segment of affirmation. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for after we have said and looked at him, we can conclude the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Amen. And his loving kindness endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. His love never quits. His loyal love endures, and His eternal love endures. Give thanks to the Lord for His good. It is a statement. It is an expression of deep gratitude to God, because you realize the Lord never fails to fulfill His promise. And why does God do that? Because the Bible tells us God is love. Hallelujah. He is the originator of love. And when you look at God, love is an enduring attribute of His nature. God's love will always endure. God's love will never end. And whatever God has done for us in this year, even after the devaluation, somebody else added it up the other day and said, I think it's been around 89%. Even after all the devaluation, even after everything that has happened in this year and has happened in the year past, but when we look back and look at what God has done, we realize God has done it because of His great love that never ends. Hallelujah. It's very important for us to always, always, always remember that. I know many are the times that instead of maybe us remembering God's love, we would rather count the burdens. We would rather count the worries. We would rather count the fears rather than remember what God has done and what God has shown us and how His great love has been shown in our lives. I read a story within the week about potatoes, eggs, and coffee beans. And I want to read this story to you. It reads like this. Once upon a time, a daughter complained to her father that her life was miserable and that she didn't know how she was going to make it. She was tired of fighting and struggling all the time. It seemed just as one problem was solved, another one soon followed. Her father, a chef, took her to the kitchen. He filled three pots with water and placed them on a high fire. Once the three pots began to boil, he placed potatoes in one pot, eggs in the second pot, and ground coffee beans in the third pot. He then let them sit and boil without saying a word to his daughter. The daughter mourned and impatiently waited, wondering what he was doing. After 20 minutes, he took off the burners. He took the potatoes out of the pot and placed them in a bowl. He put the eggs out and placed them in a bowl. He then set the coffee out and placed it in a cup. Turning to her, he asked it, "Daughter, what do you see?" "Potatoes, eggs, and coffee," she hastily replied. "Look closer," he said, "and touch the potatoes." She did and noted that they were soft. He then asked her to take an egg and break it. After pulling off the shell, she observed the hard-boiled egg. Finally, he asked her to sip the coffee. Its rich aroma brought a smile to her face. "Father, what does this mean?" she asked. He then explained that the potatoes, the eggs, and coffee beans had each faced the same adversity, the boiling water. However, each of them reacted differently. The potato went in strong, hard, and tough, but in boiling water, it became soft and weak. The egg was fragile, with the fine, thin outer shell protecting its liquid interior. Until it was put in the boiling water, then the inside of the egg became hard. However, the ground coffee beans were unique. After they were exposed to the boiling water, they changed the water and created something new. "Which are you?" he asked his daughter. "When adversity knocks on your door, how do you respond? Are you a potato? Are you an egg? Or are you a coffee bean?" Same adversity, same situations. As we finish this year, I can assure you, there are people who are grumbling. But there are also other people, having gone through all these things, they say, "Yes, I've been through the fire. Yes, I've been through the waters. Yes, I've gone through some situations. illustration, but I can conclude one thing and one thing alone. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His love endures forever.
Amen.
Which one are you? God has done some great things for us this year. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I've got a list of several things which I can tell you God has done. Number one, we have experienced the deliverance of God.
Amen.
I look at some of you that have traveled across the country, have traveled other side of the country and everything else. You left, you came back. That was God watching over you.
Amen.
We have gone through some adversities. We have gone through some trials. We have gone through some challenges. But when you look at the children of Israel, they experience the same adversities as we do. And many of the trials and the hardships that God has rescued us from this year. He has watched over us in challenging times. And we can affirm by saying, the love of God, when we look at everything else, the love of God and your story. And we can conclude, our God is faithful. And He's faithful because He is love. So give thanks to the Lord for His good. Should be our foundation for our lives, day in, day out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Give thanks to the Lord for His good is an attitude of gratitude. Hallelujah. And it's amazing what gratitude does. It adds to your spiritual and physical health. Look at the person who always grumbles all the time. Even their face tells the story. Look at somebody who is thankful all the time. Their story tells the story. Whatever the case, their face tells the story. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it's a mindset we can get hurt. I remember during the time of prayers, Sister Violet was sharing here, and she said, there's one thing I don't like. And I was very shocked to hear Violet saying those words. And then she said, what I don't like is when I've given something to somebody else and they don't say thank you. Because I say, enough. You never have another thing from me again. And she said, that's exactly what we thought. We can quickly count the burdens. We can quickly count all the troubles. We can quickly count all the challenges. We can quickly count all the trials. We can quickly count all that. We are not refusing. Did they happen? Yes, they happened. But you know, at the end of the day, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His love and His prayer.
Amen.
Even if it means all you have at the end of this year is your life. Give thanks to the Lord.
Amen.
Some of you were fired from work this year. But give thanks to the Lord.
Amen.
Some of you lost your business this year. But give thanks to the Lord.
Amen.
Some of you things happen. And the way we are Christians is that we keep a lot of things secret, so we hide them. And we don't know what has happened in your life. But God knows. And today I say, give thanks to the Lord.
Amen.
In Psalm 107:15 it says, let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. In Isaiah 41:10, it declares, do not fear anything, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Be assured I will help you. I will certainly take hold of you with my righteous right hand. A hand of justice, a hand of power, a hand of victory, a hand of salvation. As God has been with us this year, so shall He be with us as we go into 2024. And we choose to give thanks to the Lord.
Amen.
We have seen God's deliverance.
Yes.
God has delivered us from the snare of the fowler. And I can tell you, God's love is just as strong today as it was for those in Scripture. Secondly, we have seen God providing this. And James 1:17 declares, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, the creator and sustainer of the heavens, in whom there is no variation, no rising or setting, or shadow cast by His turning, for He is perfect and never changes. One thing we know, God is perfect. One thing we know, God never changes. He is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And His goodness will never end.
Amen.
I'm sure there are some of us gathered in this room today who can testify that God has proved himself to be a faithful provider.
Amen.
I know people in this church who are entering the new year with a new job. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's important to recognize that he and only he is our provider.
Amen.
I know sometimes we operate in some amazing wisdom and then things begin to work and then we begin to think it is ourselves. There's one thing that always breaks my heart. One thing that breaks my heart is when God begins to bless people and they decide to walk away from his presence. Because I've also seen it in this year. I've seen it some in armies whom God has visited. When they were going through issues, there was so much presence before God's presence. The moment God did one thing, their commitment to God just began to work. But I'm not surprised, that's exactly the children of Israel. He told them one day, he says, remember, it is the Lord who gives power to get wealth. And he said the reason is because he was to establish a covenant. He swore with your families. I pray that as we go into 2024, you will remember what God has done.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
True riches are found in Christ and in Christ alone.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's where the true riches are found. Having said what I say, let me now make your heart comfortable so that I can say, comfort, comfort my people. Because another thing we're seeing God before the Lord this year is his forgiveness.
Amen.
King David is a very good example in scripture of a man who was impacted by his sinful choices and let receive the forgiveness of God and was deeply changed in the process. In Psalm 32, after God dealt one wrestling with him, he said these words, blessed, fortunate, prosperous, favored by God is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute wickedness, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all the day long. For day and night, your hand of displeasure was heavy upon me. My energy, my vitality, my strength was drained away as with the burning heat of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my wickedness. I said, I will confess all my transgressions to the Lord, and you forget the guilt of my sin. Selah. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you for forgiveness in a time when you are near and may be found. Surely, when the great waters of trial and distressing times overflow, they will not reach the spirit in him. You are my hiding place. You, Lord, protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs and shouts of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you who are willing with my eye upon you. Do not be like the horse of the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bridle and rein to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
David understood the power of forgiveness. And in Isaiah 12, it says, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. In Psalm 103, verse 23, says, praise the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. And he begins to listen down. He says, who forgives all your sins? If you have struggled with the thought that God may not forgive you for your mistakes this year, I want you to listen and listen clearly. You too can feel the lightening of your spirit and respond with gratitude because it's a God who forgives. Have we made some mistakes this year? Yes, we have. But I want you to understand, if you came before the Lord and say, Mom, I'm sorry. Yes, we are. And He separates us from our sins as far as the east is from the west. And when He has done that, we are not walking with our sins into 2024. We are walking there cleansed, purified, holy, righteous before the Lord. Not of our own righteousness, but because of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This year also, we have seen that God is faithful to His word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Psalm 119 and in verse 89 to 96. Psalm 119, verse 89 to 96. There are these words. I love these words, and I want to declare these words to us today.
Amen.
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 I said, verse what?
89.
And I want you to hear. It says, forever, O Lord, Your word is settled in heaven. Meaning His word stands firm. His word is unchanging. Your faithfulness continues from generation to generation. You have established the earth and it stands secure. They continue this day according to Your ordinances. For all things, all the parts of the universe are Your servants. If Your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my time of trouble. I will never forget Your precepts, for by them You have revived me and given me life. I am Yours. Save me as Your own. For I have diligently sought Your precepts and required them as my greatest need. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider Your testimonies. I have seen that all human perfection has its limits. No matter how grand, no matter how perfect, no matter how noble, human perfection has its limits. But Your commandment, O God, is exceedingly broad, and it extends without limits into eternity. Your word, O God, is settled in heaven.
Amen.
You need to stand on that. That as far as your life is concerned, Your word, His word, is settled in your life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Whether you're going through a situation of potatoes or eggs or coffee, you need to know God's word is settled in heaven. And what one of the verses God has spoken to us over and over, over the period of fasting and prayer, is that the righteous is always rescued from trouble, and the wicked take his place. That is signed in that word. God's word is settled. But I don't know what word you can stand on as you go into 2024 and say, of all the scriptures I've heard this year, this one word is settled and is settled in my life. It could be a word of forgiveness. It could be a word of healing. It could be a word of favor. It could be a word of prosperity. It could be a word for anything else. But His word is settled. This year we're seeing God heal His people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There are people we visited in hospital.
Amen.
But recently I remember the story of our brother Morris Chijan. Pastor Emerson and myself can say with more understanding than the rest of us. We went, we saw him, and we could see death on his face. On 27th of December, 2023, he was discharged from the hospital and is at home. And that healing can only be God. Hallelujah. And there are many others. And because we have seen the Lord heal, we can stand on His word that He is a healing God. And He's the Lord God
our healer, according to Exodus 50:26. One thing I'm so very grateful to God for as well this year is his people. And that's one thing that Paul never stopped to express gratitude. He always expressed gratitude for his fellow Christians. And there are several things he would thank them for. He would thank them for the encouragement he received from them. He would thank them for the support they gave him. And he recognized that God was ministering to him through those believers, whilst giving them a chance to know the joy of serving the Lord. And this year we're grateful for every one of you that has played a role in the church. I know some of us started well. We are not reading well, but the Lord will still remember everything you have done for His church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sometimes when life happens, you start with a lot of vigor. You start with a lot of energy. And then as the year goes, you begin to dwindle and dwindle and dwindle and dwindle and dwindle. By His mercy and His grace. I pray this time you are going to realize that there is a blessing and there is joy in serving God. I pray that those of us that have not been playing any role in church, you are going to find something to do because you know this is your Father's house. Hallelujah. So we are very grateful. We are absolutely very grateful. We may not say it all the time, but I want you to know we are grateful. We are grateful for what you've done for God's house. We are grateful for the visits you've made to other people in this house. We are grateful for the support you have rendered. Some of you are people who prefer to do things quietly, but I want you to know today the Lord sees. And He's going to open you. And we are grateful for that. 1 Thessalonians 1:2 say, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention in our prayers. I look at the prayers we've done this year, how we get from saying, Lord, everybody here in KICC, everybody here in KICC, everybody here in KICC, because we know when it is well with you, it is well with all of us. Philippians 1:4 says, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and their faith in the Lord Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says, we all always thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Jesus one day says, by this men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And I pray that as we go into 2024, we'll be known as a church that walks in love. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is comfort and there is strength which is only found in fellowship with other believers. When you are alone, you miss something. And as a church, we know God has been good to us as a church family in 2023. Amen?
Amen.
We've seen God do things in this place.
Amen.
Last week, I started mentioning some of them. But if I recall properly, I think this church was finished this year. If I'm not wrong. I think the children's church is finished this year.
Yes.
If I'm not wrong. I think the church we are sitting on were bought this year.
Yes.
If I'm not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. I think the guard house was built this year.
Yes.
If I'm not wrong. I think the gates, one of them was done this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's not more for them.
Mm-hmm.
Almost there are things that God has done. Do you know how those things have been done? Because of your people. We receive no support from anywhere else. Because of the giving, we have been able to do all these things. As far as the electricity for this place is concerned, we are sorted out now. We just need the, whatever they call them, to come into the whatever, to supply whatever. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I'm very confident it is coming here. God has got great plans for us.
Amen.
And we're going to count them one by one and see what God is doing. Amen. Finally, number seven, so that we can pray this. One thing which we are very assured of is that God has a plan for our lives. When we look at everything else, we can conclude that we as followers of Christ have been set apart by God. And God has a plan for our lives. I want you to tell your neighbor, God has a plan for your life. Say it with confidence. In Jeremiah 29:10, these were the words God spoke to the Israelites when they were in exile in Babylon. And he says, for thus says the Lord, when 70 years of exile have been completed for Babylon. I want you to understand, situations we go through in life, they don't stay forever.
Amen.
Sometimes I know when we are going through them, we think there's no end. But as long as the sun rises and sets, there is no situation in life that will stay like that forever. And we're going to talk about it tonight. But he told them, when the 70 years are completed, I will visit you. And I will keep my promise, my good promise to you, to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans and the thoughts I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for peace. Plans for well-being and not for disaster. To give you a future and to give you a hope. As far as God is concerned with your life, the plans he has for you are not for disaster.
Amen.
It's amazing in Malawi, every year, as long as the rains come, there are floods and there's disaster. And I can tell you that one, you don't even need to pray. Not long from now, we are going to hear that the usual place where there are disasters. It has started already. That's, it's good I'm not mentioning names. You understand what I'm saying? There's going to be disaster again. And then also happen next year, there'll be disaster again. And another year, there'll be disaster again. But God is saying, even though you may see disaster after disaster after disaster, the plans I have for you are not for disaster.
Amen.
They are for good. To give you hope. To give you a future.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to 2024.
Amen.
There's a testimony that I want to tell you in 2024 at the right time. Because there's something God has done in this house.
Amen.
We can speak, we can see like Nathaniel Bass. See what the Lord has done. What we have been waiting for has come to pass. See what the Lord has done. And you see it. That's all I can say. And the one who's done it is God. Because we know the prayer we are praying. So in Proverbs 23:18 says, surely there is a future. Surely there is a reward. And no hope and expectation in the Lord will not be cut off. We cannot just wait on the Lord and wait in vain. It is good to wait, but to wait on the Lord.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God. He gives us the victory for our Lord Jesus Christ. Every victory we have seen this year, it is because of the Lord. But then there's one last thing. Two last things I want to say in this time and pray with it. As the years go by, we need to understand that our salvation is nearer than when we first believed.
I know today we'll be celebrating. We have crossed over. But I want you to understand, what are we crossing over into?
We are crossing over nearer and nearer and nearer to the coming back and second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
After everything is said and done, and you know, he may come and he may never get married, but he's good. He may come and he may never have a child, but he's good.
Amen.
But what I want you to understand is, he may come, I know, that this coming here, the way Brother Evans and Sister Fatima do, they'll be saying, today we are celebrating Brother Foster's birthday. It just shows that he's growing old. And we will rejoice. But you know, as you grow older, realize the coming of the Lord is nearer than when we first believed. We are closer to seeing the return of Christ. And that should awaken us to a greater determination to be known as God's children, and be very grateful for his wonderful promises. In Psalm 116, 12 to 14, what shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation, and I will call the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people. The songwriter said, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. One thing I would like to say is this, in this time, because it is dropping my spirit now. I know we prayed it this week, but it just came very clearly to me that somewhere in this nation, there's a child who dropped out of school because their parents could not afford school fees. And our children never dropped out of school. And we are saying they're going into the next grade. When some of this child, they're trusting God for school fees for the next grade. God has been good. But the question is, are you a potato? Are you an egg? Or are you grounded cough beans? Because the situations are exactly the same. But you can stand up and say, he has been.
May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.